You're listening to Eagles Unfiltered.
E-A-T-L-E-S, Eagles!
This podcast is powered by Eagle Maven of Sports Illustrated.
Third down and one. Hurts. Deeping. First down and a touchdown.
Here are your hosts, Ed Kraz and Connor Miles.
Thank you once again for tuning in to another episode of Eagles Unfiltered, powered by Believe Podcast Network and sponsored by BetOnline.ag, the best sports betting website around. I know your wallets and your purses are hurting after this Christmas season with all the holiday shopping. Remember, if you go to BetOnline.ag and use promo code Believe, B-L-E-A-V, it will match your initial deposit up to 50%. Make some of that money back. I know our pockets are hurting, especially in this economy. Go ahead and win some money with us on BetOnline.ag. And also, I know the holiday season is very tough for some people, especially with loss and everything of the sort with family and everything. Remember, we also have a promo link, betterhelp.com/Eagles, E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. 10% off your first month of online therapy. You get to choose your own therapist. If you don't like that one, they let you switch for free. Go ahead and take advantage of that now. 10% off your first month of online therapy, E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles on betterhelp.com. Co-host Connor Miles, my co-host Ed Kraz, as always. Ed, I think the main thing of this episode we're going to talk about is Darius Slay's injury and then the reception of Darius Slay this week, because it's not looking good for him right now with how the fan base is feeling. Majority of the fan base, I should say, not everybody, but majority of the fan base is feeling towards him after he pounded his chest for his individual performance of doing extremely well against Dallas. But I think it rubbed a lot of Philadelphia, the blue-collar town, the blue-collar fan base. It rubbed them the wrong way, because this is a team sport. Your team captain kind of threw the team under the bus during his podcast episode. We'll get into that in a little bit. But he's also going to be out this week against Seattle with that arthroscopic knee surgery. No timetable on his return. It's a major, probably the biggest loss on this defense, if you ask me, in my opinion. I know the passing secondary has been horrible this year, but Darius Slay is the glue to at least make things better. Without him, I don't see the Eagles even improving the poor Bass defense that they've shown us so far. Because from an individual standpoint, Darius Slay is playing good football. Not good enough to carry the whole entire secondary, but good football for his standards and what he's doing on his side of the field. So that loss is going to be damning, especially against DK Metcalf. And then we also got some things to talk about with Kevin Byard making an interesting, point of view. I don't even know how to say this, but an interesting insertion this week on the defensive meetings that I'm not accustomed to. And I wonder if you ever heard of this happen before, because I think this is pretty big. And to me, this might signal the fact that Sean Desai's seat might not be cold right now. It might be a little warm. The fact that I have a recent player that they just traded for come in and make this type of demand and they go with it. I thought it was just interesting. So I want to get your thoughts on that. And then we'll discuss a little bit about the Seattle Philly upcoming game on Monday, and we'll go from there. So, Ed, first to start off with, Darius Slay's out this week. What's your take on it?
Yeah, he's battled this knee injury, for the last couple of weeks. He hasn't practiced. He's always listed on the injury report, not practicing with a knee. And, I saw him before the Dallas game, and I asked him, are you playing? And he said, we'll see. Still some things to work out. So, I think he took this about as far as he could without having it cleaned up. Probably something arthroscopic. Really not 100% sure, because it happened, during Saturday's practice. We have no availability after practice. We do in the locker room, but nobody was saying anything about the knee. But listen, the knee is what it is, and he's out for at least Monday night. They have a week between games. It's not a short week, because they don't come back the following Sunday. They actually play on Christmas Day against the New York Giants. So he does have that extra day to kind of get back out there. So, we'll see. They're not putting him on injured reserve. They're not shutting him down for the season. So they're expecting him to return at some point. Now, some point involves these final four games. He's out one. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back and plays the final three games, two against the Giants, one against the Cardinals. But, in the short term is who takes his place on the outside. You mentioned DK Metcalf, obviously a very tough cover. Tyler Lockett's no picnic either. And then you have the rookie Jackson Smith and the Jigba, who, you know, he's been a very good third receiver, over 49, or I think he's got over 40 receptions, a couple touchdowns. So that's a very, very good trio that you're going to have to deal without your veteran corner. So who steps in? Josh Jobe, Keely Ringo, Eli Ricks. Those are your candidates, those three guys. We saw Keely Ringo have a pretty big role last week against Dallas, bigger than he's used to, 22 snaps. Something tells me it could be him, but, you know, I wouldn't rule out Eli Ricks either. Ricks has been cross-trained a little bit more in the slot, so he could be kind of used as a backup slot, and you just throw Ringo out there and let him get a full run at corner. For some reason, Josh Jobe, after filling in for a few games earlier in the year when James Bradbury was out with a concussion, the Eagles have cooled on him a little bit. Great special teams player, but, you know, he's not getting that same run on defense. So I think it could be Ringo. I think we could see the rookie out there, Keely Ringo, getting his first start in a very, very tough place to play. Obviously, Seattle with that 12th man. It's going to be very loud. It's going to be very hostile. But, you know, he's bred in the SEC, so he's played in some big venues and some big games. And this is, Jason Kelce said earlier in the week, this is a playoff game. For all intents and purposes, this is a playoff game. Doesn't have the one-and-done feel to it, but huge factor in the playoff race, whatever that looks like coming out of the weekend. Eagles can't afford to lose. They can't afford to drop three in a row at this point in the season. They haven't won in December yet, which is when you want to be playing your best football. So not having Slay is going to be something that they're going to have to overcome. And we'll see if they have Josh Sweat, who did not practice on Saturday due to a personal reason. I was told that they expect him to play. Same with Jalen Hurts, who didn't practice on Saturday. He was out with an illness, but I was told that he's expected to play also on Monday night. And I think Sweat will as well. But we saw Boston Scott had a personal problem or personal issue a couple weeks ago, and he missed the game. So we'll see where Sweat is at this point. But I was told that, you know, he is expected to play.
Zach Cunningham's out as well. I mean, the defense is reeling, that's for sure. And I wonder, I know Sean Desai said earlier in the week during his press conference that Keely Ringo has deserved that more playing time when you guys asked why his snaps increased. And I know AJ Brown himself actually pointed out that Keely Ringo is a player that's impressing him on scout team recently. So you could have said that this is potentially coming no matter what, but at the same time, I wonder if they actually did it because they knew Slay's probably going to be getting this surgery soon. Let's go throw him out there versus Dallas on a rotational basis and see what he can do, because we're going to call on him soon. That could have been also in the cards as well. And I wouldn't be surprised, I'm going to be honest with you, Ed, if we look at this as a rotational basis, just like we did with Joshua Jobe when he was on the outside, because he wasn't just replacing that during Bradbury's concussion. He was replacing that when they wanted to put Bradbury in the nickel himself.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they attacked this from a rotational standpoint, because I know when they brought Bradley Roby in, everybody thought, you know, this is a great nickel corner. This is a great nickel corner. This is going to be a great acquisition. But Bradley Roby has played predominantly on the outside throughout his NFL career. He has played the nickel, yes, but he's been a predominant outside corner in Denver and other places in Houston as well. I wouldn't be surprised if they decided, let's put the veteran on the outside since this is a playoff game atmosphere, and let's put Eli Ricks in the nickel, who has the in-game experience. I think it's going to be a rotational basis, though. I think you're going to see Ringo on the field just as much as you did last week, maybe a little bit more of an increase, maybe get the official start, per se, but I still see them rotating around. But I was going to ask if you thought Joe touches the field, and it's interesting you went with that point of view. They cooled on him, because I agree with you. They definitely have. You have not seen him at all anymore other than special teams.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, I didn't think he played all that badly when he was in there, but yeah, we could see rotational, or if they start Ringo and the guy is doing the job, then you probably keep playing him. I think it becomes a rotational situation if whoever they use to start the game doesn't hold up as well as they hope. And we'll see, but that's not a bad plan, is putting Ricks in the slot or Sidney Brown, but they're so short at safety. Now, it's good that Reed Blankenship is going to play. You know, I thought, you know, coming out of the concussion, getting through the protocol, in a few days would probably lead him to not playing, but he is going to play, and that's big. You know, him and Kevin Byard are back out there now as your starting safeties, and that gives you Sidney Brown as kind of that extra piece now where you can rotate him in at safety, or like you said, if they put Roby on the outside as a situational guy, then they put Sidney Brown maybe in the slot. So there is flexibility on this defense to cover, you know, the absence of Slay.
Maybe not the production, but the absence for sure. Now, let's move on to a little bit about the heat that Darius Slay has been taking this week. I know from an individual standpoint, he played well versus Dallas. I'm going to tell you right now, the Eagles will be lost without Darius Slay, regardless of what the fans think. It's just the truth. I mean, they have not been able. This team is cursed at corner. They cannot develop corners. They have been very poor at the position this whole entire decade, if you ask me, really, to be honest with you. But Darius Slay came into this team. This really was the best corner you had production-wise since Asante Samuel. And it was a very, very long time coming and waiting for it. So what we're learning this season when it comes to coaching, that the grass isn't always greener on the other side, you're going to get a harsh lesson on that this offseason when it comes to replacing longtime veteran players for this team. Because I think this is potentially it for Darius Slay in Philadelphia. Potentially. So with that being said, again, I also agree with people saying, why would you pound your chest for an individual performance and then throw your team under the bus on the podcast when the team gets blown up against Dallas and is coming off that awful San Francisco game as well? And my answer is, it's not a good answer. I think it's an answer to take into account for, but still feel the way that you feel, because you're going to feel the way that you feel regardless. This podcast is not going to change your mind. But I also think that this context is being sorely missed. When it comes to the NFL and it comes to free agency and it comes to bringing in a veteran, you're not always getting a veteran from a winning organization or a winning culture who's accustomed to a winning culture, let's say. And Darius Slay is a really great example of that. Darius Slay in Detroit went to the playoffs once. It was a quick out. He never really experienced success until he got to Philadelphia, and now he's been to the playoffs. If they go to this year, he's been in the playoffs 3 out of the 4 seasons he's been with the Eagles and a Super Bowl. So why is he acting this way, or why does he focus on his individual performance? I think he's just a grizzly veteran that's accustomed to that because of what he's faced in Detroit. He was always a Pro Bowler in Detroit. He was always a great corner in Detroit. His play was always top par. Everybody recognized him as a top 10 corner. He was used to always admiring his individual performances while being accustomed to the losing at the same time. And again, this is not a valid excuse because Philadelphia is a blue collar town. This is not how, I don't care if you're Jalen Hurts out there. If you're Jalen Hurts out there looking at your individual performance instead of the whole entire picture of the team losing and the offense being bad as it was, they're going to kill you. It doesn't matter who you are. Unfortunately, in this part, it's Darius Slay who's doing it. And as a team captain, this is just not acceptable. It's really not. You can't just not talk like this, especially on a podcast where everybody can hear you and it's clipped and recorded. Now, again, I really wish people would listen to the whole episode, though. The whole episode doesn't explain what that little clip was. But that's social media nowadays. We're going to run with the clip.
Yeah.
But and that
clip did say, you know, he did say, like, hey, I played great. The team didn't play well, or they sucked, but I played great. Now, they can't.
You can't do that as a team captain.
Can't do that. Can't do it.
I just don't think it's a coincidence that you hear guys like Jason Kelce, Fletcher Cox, and Lane Johnson attack these, you know, press conferences with you guys, or like this little, I don't know what you want to call them, not press conferences, but these little interviews with you guys around the corner after these losses. I don't think it's how they pale in comparison. It's a coincidence when you consider where these guys are coming from and then where these guys are coming from. Because even Josh Sweat, who's been with this team, he was a flyer. They took a flyer on him to replace Vinnie Curry, basically, after a Super Bowl season. He's been with this team and grown with this team through the bad and the good and the ugly, but also to be the successful person that he is now. He says, we're not getting home enough. And he truthfully, he's having a career year, but he's right. For the snaps that he's playing, because he's playing a career high in snaps, like you said last episode, he's not getting home enough. He's not getting home enough for that amount that he's playing for.
Yeah.
Still great production. Still a great player, but he's not getting home enough for the amount of time he's on the field, and he's the first to tell you that. Whereas, and I do not take this personally, and it is not comparable whatsoever. I'm just trying to at least add some context to the situation so maybe I can open some minds up a little bit more. Hassan Reddick, who was with Arizona through the bad, Carolina through the losing, only 1 year, but it was a losing year. And then goes to the Philadelphia, enjoys success right off the bat. Celebrates the fact that he has fourth consecutive year with 11 sacks, even though this team's going through the same thing. When I say celebrate, he posted a tweet. So call it what you will. It wasn't that big of a deal. And that's why I'm saying these aren't comparable situations, but at least open your mind up a little bit more to see Josh Sweat's answer is a little bit different right now, even though he's having a very good year for his above his standards. And Reddick's having four consecutive years of 10 plus sacks. And their answer is a little bit different, or they're focusing a little bit differently right now. It shows you. I'm telling you, Malcolm Jenkins was an outlier, Ed, because Malcolm Jenkins came from a Super Bowl winning team and wanted to bring that to Philadelphia, bring that culture to Philadelphia. So he's an outlier to me. But when you bring in guys that are with organizations that are just accustomed to losing, they're learning the winning culture. They're still getting used to the winning culture. It doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't matter what part of a career they're in. They're still trying to learn that. It's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different atmosphere. But this is not an excuse for Darius Slay because, again, at the end of the day, he's a team captain. So that was just my thoughts on it, Ed. What are yours?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of it, too, in Reddick's case, maybe has to do with the fact that, you know, listen, it's no secret he wants more money. You know, to his credit, he's playing through a contract that he could have held out for more money. So, you know, I think he just wants people to remember that, hey, you know, even though we're losing, I'm still getting my sacks. And, you know, when I get paid or if I choose to hold out next year, you know why, is because I'm producing and I want more money. So I think maybe some of that tweet was kind of a business decision from Reddick's standpoint.
Could say the same for Slay, because I think, I mean, again, he's on a prove it deal pretty much right now.
Yeah, Slay, you can say the same thing. But Slay, again, maybe a little reaction to, you know, what took place earlier in the week when a fan showed up dressed in full Philadelphia Eagles gear, head to toe, helmet on, and everything, with two trash cans. One said, you know, big play Slay. There was tape to the trash can, or no big play Slay. And the other one just said Bradbury. So, you know, maybe he's taking that, you know, a little bit personally, you know, seeing how fans are, you know, kind of riding him pretty hard. And he just wanted to point out, hey, I had a great game, you know, and my teammates didn't. But, you know, that's kind of the wrong way to go about it. You know, it should be a we situation with Slay, and say, you know, we didn't play great. You know, I even didn't play great, even though I may have made some plays. I didn't have a great game, you know. But it was the wrong approach, and that could have something to do with it. Was that whole trash can episode with the sign, fired the sigh, you know, the no big play Slay on a trash can. I mean, that probably gets under your skin a little bit if you're a pro athlete, and maybe he even drove past it on his way to work that day. So you don't know. You don't know what, you know, how players take that, and maybe that's how Slay took it.
Not even just that. I mean, the social media, Slay's very active on social media. And there's been a lot of hate, not even just threats towards him. You've seen his wife just answer a tweet that told her to go F herself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it's, you're right. That stuff is definitely getting under his skin. There's definitely a reactionary to the reaction. I agree with you 100% on that. I just think it's, you know, a little interesting that, again, the situations aren't comparable at all. Slay's playing for his. I don't think Slay's going to retire after this season, and I don't think the Eagles are that committed to him at this point anymore, and they almost let him go to the Ravens this offseason. So we'll see how it goes going further.
I think Slay can still play. I mean,
he's proven that.
Yeah, if the Eagles don't think so, let him go. Then what are you going to do? I mean, we're going to get a good look at what this defense is going to look like on the outside on Monday night without him in the lineup, and we'll see how these young kids react. Now, you say, okay, we could go out and draft a corner. But a cornerback's tough to play in the NFL. I mean, it takes some time to learn how to do it.
Any Eagles fan that says that, Ed, is what have you been paying attention, though? Because, I mean, this team, you bring in, doesn't matter what coaches you bring in, they can't develop corners. They're very bad at it. Something has to be changed there to fix that. But at this point in time, are you that confident in that with the history? And I understand you don't say don't try again just because of what your past is looking like, but that answer is just not as simple as that answer. That's a good theory.
Yeah, I don't think the Eagles move on from Slay. I don't. I think he's back next year. Again, he's one of those guys in the locker room that's a pretty popular guy. He keeps things loose, and he can still play. So, you know, I don't think he's feeling that much pressure that, hey, I got to let everybody know how great I am because I want to be back here. I think he'll be back. I really do. I'd like to see Bradbury play better. I think, you know, Bradbury's really kind of been not real good. I mean, not as good as he was last year when he was second team all pro. And this year, completely different story. He's just not playing the same way. And that's been one of the reasons, in my opinion, that the Eagles are the one of the last ranked teams in pass defense is just the play of Bradbury. You know, the fact that the back end hasn't been together that long. You bring Kevin Byard in here, you know, kind of midseason, right before the trade deadline. So, you know, they're still getting used to playing with each other. But, you know, Bradbury needs to play better. I think Slay has been, you know, okay. I think he's been kind of the same player he was last year when they went to the Super Bowl. So, you know, I just don't think he's the problem on defense.
No, I agree with you 100% on that. It's, and I'm going to be honest, Bradbury really was plan B to bring back at that point. I do believe, I mean, it's known. I don't have to believe it. It's known. The focus was on C.J. Gardner-Johnson. It was the fact that they were way off on money than what the Eagles were offering, and then he goes in free agency and he learns the Eagles actually were offering pretty well of a deal, and then the Eagles pivoted to James Bradbury to bring him back. So it wasn't, you know, plan A all along, but you're right. He's been playing pretty bad football at this point. I also wonder if what the scheme has to go into it. Let's get into that a little bit now. Interesting that, you know, Kevin Byard, like you just said, was a midseason acquisition, and yet he's making a really this is a team captain move right here. Asking Sean Desai, let the DBs self-scout this week and let us decide how we attack these guys. And that's what they're going with. And I'm wondering, how do you take that?
Well, it's a slap at Desai. I mean, if you ask me, I mean, you want to kind of cut your DC out of planning for the game? I mean,
that seat must be getting warm. I mean,
oh yeah, sure. I think it's real warm. And I think we talked about this last week. If the Eagles lose out, you know, he's gone, and he still might be gone. I mean, the Eagles are in the bottom five in a lot of defensive departments that the NFL keeps track of. And Sirianni has said that he hates being in the bottom five of anything. And now you have a defense that's got, you know, five or six significant bottom five numbers. And to me, that points to the DC. And yeah, I think Desai could be in some trouble here. You know, again, they won 10 games. They're not going to make a move to get rid of him in season. I mean, that would be shocking. If they lose Monday night, if they give up 40 points to the Seahawks and Geno Smith, I don't know. I mean, they might do something to shake this thing up, because they would then be in a very bad situation as far as even being the number two seed in the NFC. Of course, Dallas has to play the Bills and the Dolphins, so they've got their work cut out for them. But if the Eagles, you know, completely fall apart, if DK Metcalf torches them for 190 yards and two touchdowns and they put up 42 points, I don't know. I don't know what the fallout would be from that. And, you know, you're a week away from Christmas. I mean, you know, it would be a really tough move if the Eagles were to move on from Desai. But it's certainly not a good thing when your safety, your veteran safety, made the Pro Bowl a few times, Kevin Byard, but has only been here for, you know, since the middle of October, late October, starts making these kind of executive decisions. That's not good. That's not good for your DC.
I think what hurts a little bit more, and we brought up the loss or the choice of Desai over Denard Wilson last episode, but when you really look at what the Ravens are doing in the secondary this year, Geno Stone, who they've developed over the years, leads the AFC in safety Pro Bowl voting. He's really having a breakout year under Denard Wilson being the DB coach there. Brandon Stevens, who's really been stepping up for Marlon Humphrey being half the player he used to be, is an undrafted free agent, I believe, and he's having a solid year stepping up. And Ronald Darby is actually not perfect for them, but he's still getting the job done. It's tough. That's a tough pill to swallow to see a guy that you chose over and it's not working out really well currently with him, and the other guy that got a new job is settling in pretty well at his new spot and performing with these players that he's just now touching. Like it's tough. It's a tough pill to swallow there. I'm going to be honest with you, Ed.
I agree. I mean, Denard Wilson's still a cornerback coach or DB coach in Baltimore, just like he was in Philadelphia. But when he was here, you can't overlook the job he did with James Bradbury, who played well Darius Slay, who I think is playing kind of the same. But, you know, the Eagles secondary doesn't have a playmaker. Like last year, Chauncey Gardner had 6 picks. I mean, I don't think the Eagles as a team have 6 picks this year. I think they have 5. You know, is that Desai's fault? Is that DK McDonald's fault, who's now the DB coach, was an assistant DB coach last year under Wilson? I don't know. I mean, listen, would Wilson made a good coordinator, defensive coordinator? Maybe. I can't say for sure. I know he had a lot of support in that locker room to be the guy, especially from Slay, you know, guys who worked in that room with him. So, yeah, maybe that was an oversight on Nick's part. Instead of promoting 2 guys from within, Brian Johnson and Denard Wilson, he went outside with his DC. And, you know, it really is telling that Byard doesn't trust him enough to kind of help him or to have him help formulate a game plan against these Seattle cornerbacks.
It is Seattle wide receivers, but yeah, it is. It's have you heard that for as long as you covered the Eagles, have you heard a player do this?
I don't think so. Nothing off the top of my head.
Yeah, nothing off the top of my head either. I just as like a fan of the team, I don't even remember. I mean, I'm sure there's been something like that that's happened before, but to make it this public this quick, no.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it's concerning for sure. And that, you know, maybe that speaks to some internal friction that's going on inside that locker room. We don't know. I mean, our fingers starting to be pointed. We saw Josh Sweat come out and say, you know, we're just not taking care of each other, you know, on the back end and with defensive line. Now, some players tried to explain that this week, saying that he's just talking about communication. But, you know, it's not good when, you know, other players are calling each other out. And even, you know, with that report from D Gunn, who we all speculated, told him about that with receivers in this offense, not scheming guys open or running pass patterns that are too long. I mean, that to me is a little bit of finger pointing, and that's what you don't want to take place as you try to bring this team together to win another game. All they need is one more win to get in the playoffs. So they're not even in the playoffs officially yet. So they need to find a win somewhere here, and the sooner the better. Like I said earlier, Kelsey called this a playoff-type game on Monday night, so they're going to really have to come out and react well to it. I think they will. I mean, he's talking about a lot of guys being pissed off in that locker room. I think a lot of guys are embarrassed. I think the coaches are embarrassed. Nick Sirianni has had this pissed off look all week. So we'll see what they do, if they can go out and do something about that on Monday night.
I hope they do. What do you think is going to be the result for this game?
I think the Eagles are going to win. I really do. I know they haven't beaten the Seahawks since 08. They're 0-7 in that stretch. They've come close a few times, but Russell Wilson's not here. You know, he's always been the killer for them. They can never seem to get off the field with him at quarterback. So, you know, I think Geno Smith is a little banged up. You know, he didn't play last week. I think he's expected to play Monday night. And I think the Eagles pass rush is going to probably pick up maybe 3 or 4 sacks in this game. I think they are a little pissed off. I think they're a little embarrassed. They know what it means. This is a pretty much a veteran team in a tough place to play, but I think they're going to find a way. I really do. I think they're going to win this game.
Yeah. They have to beat Jason Peters.
I don't even know how much I don't know how much Jason Peters is even going to play. I mean,
depends on those guys getting injured. That right tackle gets injured a lot.
His snap counts have been all over the place. 6 last week against the Niners. He played over 50 just a couple weeks ago in back-to-back games. So, yeah, you're right. It depends, you know, how those guys hold up. But, you know, who knows, you know, how much he's going to play. But, you know, Kelsey and Brandon Graham, I wrote about it. Still a lot of fond memories of Jason Peters. Obviously in that locker room, it feels like forever ago that he was here, but it was just 2020. I mean, it was just 3 years ago that he played for the Eagles, and so much changes in the NFL, you know, from year to year, that it just feels like Peters was here like 10 years ago or 5 years ago, but right. Not 3 years ago. So yeah, I'm not worried about Peters. If he plays, that's Eagles advantage.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I think the Eagles win 23-20.
Okay.
Which is kind of, the Seahawks have an offense, even with Drew Lock, to be honest with you, because I thought he played fairly well considering the circumstances against San Francisco. Coming off the bench for first time in years to play that game against that type of team, I thought he played fairly well. Even if it looks like it's going to be Geno, but I'm just saying, even if Drew Lock was to go, I think the Eagles find a way on defense, even without Slay, because of this pissed off outlook that you're alluding to find a way to limit that high power offense and limit them to score only 20.
Yeah, I have probably the Seahawks at about 20, 21 points. I think the Eagles go up to 28 or 30. I think it's a little bit more of a breezy win. I don't know why. I just feel like, you know, they feel like they're at rock bottom. And my only concern is, like I talked about, is this whole finger pointing and maybe a schism that might be taking place. But, you know,
loose lips sink ships. I'll tell you.
Yeah. Now Byard going against Desai. I mean, it's just not, it doesn't seem to me like it's all hands on deck. But
it's very telling for a new player to come in and think after a couple of weeks, oh, we're not the problem. This guy is.
Right. I know. It's, but listen, you know, he's been around the league.
He's a respected veteran. So I would actually listen to him if he thinks this.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, that's my only worry, is that this team is no longer pulling from the same end of the rope, and they could splinter. And if that happens, man, I don't know what's going to happen over these final three games that looked winnable just a month ago. All of a sudden now, if they lose three in a row, don't look.
Coaches are going to be in trouble. That's all I know.
Yeah, right. I think so. And they're going in with, you know, Jalen Hurts, who's sick. No Slay, maybe no Sweat. I think Sweat will play. No Cam Jurgens. You're probably going to start Sua Peta at right guard.
Which is off to me. Man, you make him
I asked Kelsey about that, and he seemed to say that, listen, we're playing in a loud and hostile environment, and it was about the silent count. He said silent count is all about timing, and we feel comfortable with Sua Peta operating in the silent count because he's been there. He's done that. He's played a lot of games for them. Steen hasn't. And, you know, there's something.
Wow, there you go. That's the best answer you'll hear.
Yeah. That's really Kelsey's answer is that they're very confident in the way Opeta can operate in the silent count. It's all about timing. And Opeta's been there. He's been in these loud environments. Steen, you know, I know he played in the SEC and he played in loud environments, but not with Jason Kelsey, Lane Johnson, Landon Dickerson and company on the front line. Every offensive line is different.
Right.
So, you know, it's all about timing, you know, because you always see Opeta slap Kelsey's leg when everything's set. And then, boom, the snap comes. So you want to be on that kind of, you know, you want to be paying attention to that in the silent count. So that's why they like Opeta in this game.
It's got to be so refreshing to interview Jason Kelsey and actually get an answer.
Kelsey's the best. He's so good. You could ask the stupidest question in the world, and he just doesn't give you a one sentence answer. He'll go on about it. He won't tell you how stupid the question was. You know, he'll answer it. He'll do his best to answer it. You know, and listen, I think the world of Jason Kelsey, and you know, that's his answer, and I'm down with it. Makes sense to me.
That makes a lot of sense. Like, wow, that even blew my mind of how much I just got informed on that. So now I know why they're playing him. That makes a lot of sense too. It does. All right, so that's gonna do it for us, guys. Thank you again for tuning in to another episode of Eagles Unfiltered. We're back later in this week to discuss this game. Hopefully we're in good spirits this time around. That's all I can say.
All right.